folks, and welcome to another edition of the Dr. Mark Foster Show. Today is Sunday, August 4th of 2013. Wanted to talk about the issue of surveillance and the fact that we are living in a surveillance society once again from a slightly different perspective than I have before. This one is a more concrete sociological approach, and I think that one of the major problems that discourse experiences in the world today, particularly in the United States, is the constant tendency to atomize or individualize or perhaps psychologize social problems, rather than looking at social problems on their own level, or as sociologist Emil Durkheim called it, sui generis, which literally means of its own kind, seeing societies as being an entirely separate entity, although interrelated with individuals, on a different level of reality or existence. People have a tendency to forget that, or perhaps that's not how they look at the world. And so instead of seeing societies and groups and social structures and cultures as being realities, as being actual expressions of human social reality, instead they look at societies as nothing more than collections of individuals. As I sometimes will explain to my students, I tell them to imagine that you have a person who drives a car down the road to a very isolated area, finds a place and pulls the car over, and then thinks, you know, I would really like to see what my car looks like taken apart. And so the person takes out a toolkit. I'm not a mechanic or even close, so I have no idea how a person would do this, but the individual proceeds to dismantle the car. And so within a few hours, instead of a functioning car, there is a big pile of car parts. Pretty soon, a police officer drives up. Again, this is an imaginary story, I think, and says, "Who is the owner of that pile of junk on the side of the road?" And the fellow says, "Well, no, that's not a pile of junk. That's my car." Police officer responds, "Well, if that's your car, get into it and drive away, because you are on private property and the owner has just filed a complaint with the police department." Well, obviously, the person cannot get into the car at that point and drive away. So the question is, what is missing? Well, what is missing is the structure of the car. Or perhaps in automotive terms, the blueprint, how the pieces of the car fit together in a proper way so that when you put the drive into its proper position, when you take your foot off the brake and put it on the accelerator, the car will actually move. Well, if you are just looking at a pile of car parts, there's no way that a pile of car parts can move. In other words, although that pile of car parts may have once composed a car at one time, it is no longer a car. Similarly, a collection of individuals is not a society or a group. If I take an accidental bunch of individuals off the street and I invite them into a room and then say, well, talk. People would probably look at me and say, well, talk about what? We don't know who these people are. I never saw this person before. You know, why did you invite us to come into this room? In other words, what I would have is not a group, but simply a collection of people in the same place at the same time, or as we would call it in sociology, an aggregate. People who are there because of coincidence, not because of intention. So, if I am going to ask the question, why are we living in a surveillance state? Or why are various agencies of the U.S. federal government and of other governments collecting so much intelligence, whether on the internet, whether on telephone calls, or through various other means, scanning license plates? Why are they doing that? Many people say, well, it's a violation of civil liberty or individual liberty. In other words, rather than looking at it on a sociological level, instead, they're looking at it on an individual level, on a psychological level, or, if you will, on a libertarian level. But sociologically, the more important question is, I think, what is wrong with society? What kinds of problems are that society experiencing, which has made it necessary, in the eyes of people working for the federal government, to carry out such a sophisticated, elaborate surveillance program? And now, when we look around and we see that there is this major terrorist alert, as I'm speaking, although apparently there's no indication as to where this event, if it happens, will take place. The source was apparently somewhere on the Arabian Peninsula, perhaps in Yemen, but the actual planned target is apparently still mysterious. Well, this tells you right there. That is why all of this information is being collected. In other words, we are living in a very, very dangerous world, and one getting more dangerous all the time. So when people complain that their personal liberty or their civil liberty is being violated, that their freedoms have been taken away, that their First, Second, or whatever amendments are being violated, the more important question is, what is wrong with our society? Or even bigger, what is wrong with the world? Why is there so much social disorganization in the world today? Why has the world been, in effect, cast into a state of such tremendous disorder? To answer that question, I think that we need to look at the ideas of the late sociologist C. Wright Mills. He was an American fellow, a professor of sociology in New York City. I do not exactly use the same sociological approach as Mills did. Mills was one of the originators, if not the originator, of something called power elite or elite theory. I am not a power elite theorist. But on the other hand, I do agree with some of the ideas he expressed in other places. In particular, in this one book he wrote, called The Sociological Imagination. The Sociological Imagination was written to address the problem that Mills observed in many of his students, where what he found was that they were very competent at explaining things psychologically. But when it came to a real, sophisticated, sociological understanding of the world, they faltered. They simply didn't know how to do it. I see that with my own students. Many of them have a really difficult time looking at the world sociologically, on a social level. There is this constant pull, it seems, on many people to view everything through a psychological lens, to ask questions about disorders, in effect, to practically psychoanalyze people. So you find many people on the far right attributing all sorts of problems to the fact that the world is supposedly dominated by psychopaths or sociopaths, people with antisocial personality disorder. Well, of course, that tells us nothing. If problems in the world can be analyzed psychologically, or perhaps more accurately, psychiatrically, then there is no need for any social change or social improvement at all. Instead, we simply need to give people more therapy. So here is what Mills said, and I'm going to quote a brief portion of his book, one paragraph. Again, the book is The Sociological Imagination, and it is still in print, been in, as far as I know, continuous publication since the early 1960s. Whatever the specific problems of the classic social analysts, however limited or however broad the features of social reality they have examined, those who have been imaginatively aware of the promise of their work have consistently asked three sorts of questions. 1. What is the structure of this particular society as a whole? What are its essential components, and how are they related to one another? How does it differ from other varieties of social order? Within it, what is the meaning of any particular feature for its continuance and for its change? 2. Where does this society stand in human history? What are the mechanics by which it is changing? What is its place within and its meaning for the development of humanity as a whole? How does any particular feature we are examining affect, and how is it affected by, the historical period in which it moves? And this period, what are its essential features? How does it differ from other periods? What are its characteristic ways of history making? 3. What varieties of men and women now prevail in this society and in this period, and what varieties are coming to prevail? In what ways are they selected and formed, liberated and repressed, made sensitive and blunted? What kinds of human nature are revealed in the conduct and character we observe in this society in this period? And what is the meaning of human nature, of each and every feature of the society we are examining? So that is a succinct description of what Mills is talking about by sociological imagination. In other words, looking at the interface between the individual and history, taking psychological problems, individual problems, and making them into social problems and social issues. So if somebody notices that they are being spied upon, or that other people are being spied upon, rather than saying, why is this happening to us, or why is this happening to that person? Instead, the more appropriate question may be is, what kind of society do we live in that has created the necessity for this type of surveillance, and how can perhaps we make the necessary changes in society so that we will live and function in one which is much more desirable and pleasant. Until next time, this is Dr. Mark Foster. Have a good one.